follower to state publicly that they have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. However, baptism does not save us. People are not baptized to be saved, but they are baptized because they are saved. We are saved by Christ, by grace, through faith, by believing in his death on the cross for our sins and believing that he rose again. Yet the Bible teaches us that we should be baptized in water. Water baptism is a picture of what Christ has done in your heart. It's a symbolic act which shows in a visible way that Christ has washed away your sins, that you've been raised to new life in Christ. It's a public confession that your sins have been forgiven and you've become a true follower of Jesus Christ. But before we send our baptismal candidates to prepare themselves for the baptism, I want to share some thoughts with you concerning Jesus' baptism. As we look at Jesus' baptism this morning, I want to point out to you how Jesus equips us for our journey. You see, following Jesus is a journey, and it's a wonderful journey, but it's also a challenging journey. And most of the best journeys are like that. They're challenging. And we've been talking about that journey now for a few Sundays. In fact, this is our fifth Sunday in our current sermon series called The Great Adventure. It's a sermon series about following Jesus, because following Jesus is the greatest adventure that any of us could ever have. And I want you to understand today that Jesus doesn't leave us to make this journey on our own. He equips us for that journey. As we look into Jesus' baptism, I want to show you how Jesus equips you for your journey. And we find the story of his baptism in Matthew's gospel. And starting in chapter 3 there, it begins with an introduction of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was a preacher who lived in the wilderness and ate locusts and wild honey. And his message was, turn away from your sins and get ready for the Messiah. And as he was baptizing people, he said these words about the Messiah in Matthew chapter 3. First he said, I baptize with water those who turn from their sins and turn to God. And then he said, but someone is coming soon who is far greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to be his slave. I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, or he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He is ready to separate the chaff from the grain with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, storing the grain in his barn, but burning the chaff with never-ending fire. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John didn't want to baptize him. I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it must be done because we must do everything that is right. So then John baptized him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were open and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and setting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son, and I am fully pleased with him. Father, this morning, as we look into your word and this third chapter of Matthew's gospel, Father, we ask that you would speak to our own hearts about the work of Jesus in our lives. As we look at his baptism, I pray that you'd speak to us about what it means to us for our lives, what his promises mean to us. Help us to walk in faith, I pray, as we receive these words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, when John was baptizing people, some of the people wondered if he was the Messiah. They asked, are you the Messiah? And he told them, I am a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare a straight pathway for the Lord's coming. John's message was, the Messiah is coming, so get ready soon. In Matthew 3, he says, someone is coming who is far greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to be his slave. And that someone was, of course, Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior. And this is how John describes the coming Messiah. He said, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, John's words in Matthew 3 tell us what we can expect from the Messiah and what he will do for us in our life, in our journey, how he'll equip us for our spiritual journey. And so I want to focus on three of those things. Three things that Jesus does to equip us for our journey. Three things that Jesus will do for you. First of all, he will give you power. You see, the very core of Christian life is to experience God's Spirit living within us. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" The concept of God living in a person was not really a familiar concept at the time that John the Baptist told these people that Messiah was coming to baptize them in the Holy Spirit. See, it was understood back in those days that God's Spirit would come upon one of God's prophets as he prophesied or as he performed a mighty work. But then that was only a temporary experience. The Spirit would come upon someone and then the Spirit would go. And the idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit, as it's taught in the New Testament, was a new concept to them. However, for centuries before that, the Old Testament prophets had been predicting a time when God's Spirit would live in his people in a new way. In the book of Ezekiel, it says, "I will put my Spirit in you so you will obey my laws and do whatever I command." And in the book of Joel, it says, "I will pour out my Spirit upon all people." God promised in the Old Testament that there would come a time when he would make the power of the Holy Spirit available to all people, all of his believers. And John the Baptist said that that promise would come true through the Messiah, through Jesus. He said, "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Now, this morning, I could try to explain all this, but I'd rather just try to show you what it means. So I didn't bring all this water up here to drink this morning. I wasn't that thirsty. But I brought this in illustration. And this glass represents a believer, and this water represents the Holy Spirit. And when we come to Christ, we profess our faith in Jesus. We ask him to forgive us of our sins. And when we do that, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. And that experience causes us to be born again, to be saved. But Jesus wants to do something even more special for us, something else, something for his followers. He wants to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. And the word baptize means to be immersed. It means to be plunged into. And so when Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit, this is what happens. The believer is immersed in the Holy Spirit. You might say, well, what does all that mean? What's the point of all that? Why does Jesus baptize us in the Holy Spirit? Well, because the baptism of the Holy Spirit gives you power to share in Jesus' mission. It gives you power to share the message of Jesus with other people. And we all need the power of the Holy Spirit to do that, because we are all just ordinary people of flesh and blood. How could any of us awaken faith in the heart of another person? How could any of us tell a story that's powerful enough to completely transform another person's life? How could any of us open the doors of heaven for someone else? How could any of us lead someone else to faith in Christ? We're just ordinary people. How could any of us ever do that? Well, Jesus tells us how. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how. Not by our influence, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, God calls every believer to share in his mission. And the power of the Holy Spirit is available to every one of us, to every believer. And Jesus came to give us that power. You might think, well, Rob, that sounds really great, but how do I receive that? How do I get that? Well, Jesus said that we get it by asking for it. He said, "If you sinful people," he's talking about us, "know how to give good gifts to your children, then how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" To receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you pray a prayer. You ask, "Lord, baptize me in your Spirit." It's a prayer that says, "Lord, I don't want to go my way. I want to go your way. I don't want to live by my power. I want to live by your power." It's a prayer, it's a simple prayer, but it involves, first of all, submission, which is giving control of yourself to God. It's about yielding your spirit, yielding yourself to the work of God's Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. And it also involves faith, which is trusting in God to empower you. You can't earn it. You can't work your way up to it. You can pray and you can ask for it by in a prayer of submission and a prayer of faith. Jesus said, "How much more will your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Jesus came into the world so you could experience the fullness of God in your life, the fullness of his presence, and the fullness of his power. And that's what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that's what John said the Messiah would do to equip you on your journey. The second way that Jesus will equip you for your journey is that he will make you pure. John said he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so what does he mean by that statement, that he will baptize you with fire? Well, fire represents purification. For example, when metal is heated into a liquid, all the impurities then float to the top. And then the impurities can be poured off and removed so that what's left is pure. In a similar way, the fire of the Holy Spirit purifies our lives. When John promised the baptism of fire, he's promising that God will work in your life to make you pure. The Holy Spirit helps us to become pure. He convicts us of our sin, and he empowers us to overcome temptation. And John is saying that the ministry of the Messiah will be to cleanse your life so that everything that's not pleasing to God will be removed. And then John uses a further example. He says, talking about Jesus, he says, he's ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, storing the grain in his barn, but burning the chaff with never-ending fire. Now, you might wonder, why is John the Baptist talking about farming? Jesus didn't come to be a farmer. No, it's a metaphor, right? It's a metaphor, a figure of speech that makes things easier to understand. You see, when grain is harvested, it includes impurities called chaff. Back in those days, grain farmers would use a big tool called a winnowing fork, which is like a big shovel. And they would scoop up the grain, the chaff, off the floor, and they'd throw it into the air. And because the grain is heavy, it would fall back down onto the floor, onto the ground. But chaff is light, and so it would be blown away by the wind. And so the two then would be separated. And John is telling us that that's the work the Messiah will do in your life. That's the work Jesus will do. He will separate the wheat from the chaff, the good from the bad, and the meaningless from the meaningful. Some people may interpret that now as a threat, but we should take that not as a threat, but as a promise of what God will do in our lives. A promise that Jesus wants to clean up your life. He wants to empower you that way. He wants to get rid of everything that's useless and harmful so that you can be pure and holy in your walk with God. See, chaff has no value. You can't make bread from chaff. If you want to make bread that's worth eating, you have to have good grain. And you have to eliminate the chaff. In the same way, if you want your life to produce good results, things that will count for eternity, for God's kingdom, you have to get rid of the sin. You have to get rid of all the impurities in your life. See, we all need the baptism of fire. We need to pray. We need to ask God to burn away everything in our lives that is preventing us from becoming who he wants to be and from us doing what he wants us to do. We need to welcome the baptism by fire because God is using that to make us pure. He's using it to get rid of everything that's holding us back, including every kind of sin, every mixed up priority, all religious phoniness, and anything that keeps us from living like Jesus. Jesus came into the world so that his followers could become pure. He wants to cleanse you so that you'll be free to serve him with a pure heart. Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 3 first show us that Jesus will give you power, and second, that Jesus will make you pure. The third thing we see in Matthew chapter 3 is that he will provide a path to follow. Remember, Jesus came to John to be baptized. We might wonder, why would Jesus do that? John was preaching a baptism of repentance. But Jesus didn't need to repent. He's without sin. He didn't need to ask God's forgiveness because he never offended God. He never broke any of God's commandments. So why did he come to John to be baptized? Even John said, I am the one who needs to be baptized by you. Why are you coming to me? But Jesus answered him by saying, it must be done because we must do everything that is right. Jesus was baptized by John to show people that John's message was right so that we would know that we need to turn from our sins and ask God for forgiveness. Jesus did it as an example for us to follow. It's a message that we all need to hear and obey, that Jesus was saying, my act of obedience is an example for everyone. Follow my example. The Bible teaches us that we are to follow Jesus as an example. 1 John 2:6 says, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. That, of course, is the scripture verse where that motivated the WWJD wristbands and kind of movement, I guess it was, that started a few years back now. The wristband is meant to remind people to live like Jesus by asking themselves at every decision, what would Jesus do? Jesus set an example for us. He provided a path for us to follow. And on that path, he shows us to be baptized and to follow all of his teaching. I also want you to notice that at the baptism of Jesus, it also marked the beginning of his mission or his ministry. After he was baptized, the Spirit of God descended on him, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, and I am fully pleased with him." And God's words made it clear to everyone that Jesus is the one that we should follow. He is the way. In fact, later in his ministry, one of his disciples asked him, he said, "How can we know the way?" And Jesus answered him by saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through me." Jesus the Messiah is our path to God. We are to follow his example, we are to follow his teaching, and we are to follow him to the Father. Jesus came into this world to be the Messiah, to be your Savior, to be your Lord. And he wants to fill your life with power by baptizing you in the Holy Spirit. He wants to make you pure by burning away all the chaff and all the impurities and all the things that hold you back by baptizing you with fire. He wants to give you a path to follow, a path that leads you to the Father and to eternal life. And that's something only the Son of God can do. Today, as the pastor, I'm going to baptize you in water. But it is Jesus who baptized you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for sending Jesus and for his mission and for the work he does in our hearts and in our lives. Father, thank you that we can testify today that we are saved because of his death on the cross, because of his atoning death, he paid the price for us for all of our sin. And we can come to him in faith and receive that cleansing and be made clean and be able to come into your presence, Lord, and be saved. And Father, thank you that not only that, but you do even more for us. You bless us in so many ways. You empower us with your personal empowering presence, with your Holy Spirit living within us. And Lord, we just want to open up our hearts today and invite you to come in and fill us and to with your Spirit, to baptize us in your Holy Spirit, to empower us to be your people. Empower us for the mission of Jesus, that we could share the gospel with people, that we can minister in the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, to set people free and to proclaim your kingdom and your glory. And Father, purify us. Thank you that you don't just leave us in the state that you find us, but on this journey, it's a journey of being purified. And I ask that you would baptize us with fire by bringing the conviction of the Holy Spirit into our lives. Father, I pray that you would be relentless in not allowing us to remain the same, but continue to lead us in changing and becoming more and more like Christ. Help us to burn away those things that are impure in our lives and empower us to overcome temptation and to live by the power of the Spirit, not to follow after the sinful flesh, but by the Spirit of God, that we can walk in victory over our enemy, over sin and the devil. Thank you that you empower us for that purpose and help us in our path of life. Lord, thank you for your scriptures, your word that lead us and guide us. Your word is a light to our path. Lord God, thank you. I pray you'd guide us through the scriptures and guide us with the Holy Spirit. Give us discernment and understanding because we have the Spirit of God guiding us. Thank you, Lord God, that we don't have to be confused like so many other people, but we have the guidance of your presence, the Holy Spirit. Lord, speak to us in a personal way. Hear our prayers and help us to have ears to listen, Lord God, as we walk on this very exciting journey of following Jesus. We ask this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.